Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. You know, the scriptures are always rich, rich beyond price. But especially at this time of the year, from Easter and all the feasts that follow from Easter, the Ascension of the Lord, Pentecost, there's so many feasts. I don't have them in order right at the moment, but so many feasts that come in this time of the year that show us the beauty and the power and the majesty of God. And they show God's love for us. They show God's love for us. It's something, brothers and sisters, that don't just say, oh yeah, 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 I know that. Oh yeah, that was this feast or that was that feast or yeah, that's good. I mean, think of the feast of the Most Holy Trinity. Think of the feast of the solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. Think of the feast of the Ascension. Think the Lord's Ascension into heaven. Just think about these things and recognize that God did it for us. He did all of that for us to save us and to bring us close to Him. So much, brothers and sisters. Let's take a look at the readings for this Monday of the 10th week in Ordinary Time. It is a reading from the beginning of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, the first 7 verses. So 2 Corinthians 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the holy ones throughout Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all encouragement, who encourages us in our every affliction so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction with the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God. For as Christ's sufferings overflow to us, so through Christ does our encouragement also overflow. If we are afflicted, it is for your encouragement and salvation. If we are encouraged, it is for your encouragement, which enables you to endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is firm, for we know that as you share in the sufferings, you also share in the encouragement. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to encourage us, that is, to give us a heart that's strong. God wants to raise us up. God wants us to be able to proclaim His goodness, His kindness, His mercy to all the world. That's what he wants. Paul says, our hope for you is firm, for we know that as you share in the suffering, you will also share in the encouragement. And we do suffer, don't we, for our faith? We do. Sometimes it's very difficult. It's hard. We suffer. But we haven't yet suffered to the point of shedding blood. So go to the Lord. Ask him to help you heal your wounds. Get right back out there proclaiming the goodness of God, the love of God. Psalm 34, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. That's what we have to be doing every day through Holy Mass, through reading of the scriptures. Every day, let your mind, your heart, your body be full of God and the things of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. Well, God never speaks to me. Do you seek him? Do you seek to follow him? I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress, he saved him. I have to tell you that I don't know whether I was radiant with joy, but I felt like I was. On the day many years ago when I was able to confess a sin that I hadn't been able to, just because of my own pride, my own arrogance. And when I truly repented, the joy was such that I couldn't put words around it. I couldn't describe it. It's just a joy. And I knew it was God's joy, wasn't mine, that I was sharing in God's joy, that God was rejoicing that a daughter who had been a bit distant from him had come back. Think about that. If God so rejoices in the so-called, no sin is small, but in terms of all the major sins, my sin wasn't there, but it nevertheless was something that blocked God, and I wanted to ignore it, and I didn't want to pay attention to it. And when I finally thought, I am really offending God by saying, I'll take care of this myself. You don't need to be as close to me as you've been. Just go away, go away. I don't say those, and you wouldn't say those words, but in effect, that's what we're doing when we treat lightly something that offends God, whether it's mortal or venial. I know when I was able to say, Lord, I am really sorry. Please forgive me. That there was a joy, just a joy that no one, I don't think anyone could have taken from me. Only God could have. And I felt like God was saying that he was sharing his joy with me. He values the relationship, and he values your relationship with him. Draw near to him. Ask God to increase your faith. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, now, I want you to notice something here that I've mentioned to you before. It says, after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. That means they didn't just physically come into his presence. They came. Some of the translations give more of that indication than our English translation does. But they came. They abided. They came just to be with him, to sit in his presence. They just wanted to be with him. And then he began to teach them. But it was the relationship first. They weren't going to him just for information. They were going to him because they liked him and they wanted to be near him. So they spent time being with one another. And then he began to teach them. It should be the same with us, brothers and sisters. Don't come before the Lord, and if you'll pardon this loose expression, but rattle off a rosary. Don't do that. Yes, pray the rosary, absolutely, but not like that. Spend time with him. Talk to him. Put your day before him. The things that have concerned you from the day, or the things that are going to concern you later in the day. Thank him for what he has done for you. Recall his goodness to you. Bring your needs. Thank him for his goodness to you. Before you ever begin to pray or read before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, spend time with him. Does he love to have you say the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Rosary? Of course. But spend time with him first, and then pray these prayers. They'll become more and more meaningful. So here is Jesus now, and he begins to teach his disciples, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek." Meek means strength under control. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Brothers and sisters, notice what Jesus keeps saying is, "Blessed are you." Or many times, "happy." You see it translated "happy," which is a rather inane word for, I don't like that translation. "Blessed are you." How fortunate you are when you're poor in spirit. How fortunate you are even when you're mourning, because you're going to know the comfort of God. "Blessed are the meek." If your strength is under control and it's under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you will inherit the land. The kingdom of heaven will be yours. "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Hunger and thirst. "Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to obey your commandments, but I can't do it on my own strength, so I turn to you. Help me, assist me, because I want my life more and more conformed to yours. I want to glorify you and honor you by what I think and say and do." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. When you give mercy to those who have hurt you in some way, and you give mercy, you will be given mercy in return by God himself. Blessed are the clean of heart, purity. Repent immediately, for you will see God. And the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, even blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. In other words, brothers and sisters, no matter what happens to you, the good and the difficult, the happy and the sorrowful, the mourning and the celebrating, all those things that we go through in life, all of them can draw you closer to the presence of God. All of that, if you give it to the Lord and if you live it with the Lord, will make you blessed. May God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.